Many Canadians have a pet in their household, and they're often considered members of the family, sometimes the favorite member of the family, who knows? So it might seem ridiculous to learn that your furry little friend is legally considered your property, like your car or a piece of jewelry. What? What's happening? So then what exactly happens if your pet outlives you? Should you include your pet in your estate plan? Amy Dietz Graham is with BMO Nesbitt Burns. She joins us now with some insight. Hello there.
Hi.
Now, I am not a pet guy, but I have many friends who are, and they will be listening intently to this conversation. Why should we include pets in our estate plan?
Well, it's one of the most often overlooked area. You know, when people think wills, they think money and if they have children.
Yeah.
That's why you have to have a will.
Yeah.
But they often forget, well, what about your pet? What happens in that scenario? So your will is really your final and last word. So it has to tie up all these loose ends. Otherwise, somebody else has to make that decision for you.
So if it's not included, if the pet's not included, who is responsible?
Your executor would be tasked with that responsibility to figure out who's going to take care of the dog or the whatever animal, the
hamster,
cat,
gerbil,
the horse,
yeah,
whatever,
giraffe,
it,
whatever
is.
It is. And so from a legal standpoint, I want to talk a bit more about how pets are viewed. They're considered property, that's
right,
correct?
Yeah, in most of Canada it is. In Quebec, they have started to make that change where they are looked at as not just property, but perhaps they call it sentient beings. So
what else is a sentient being?
Yeah, us.
Us, humans.
Yeah. So it is starting to change. However, right now it is considered property. So you have to decide where that property goes.
Now, I love that we're talking about this, but really, be honest with me, how often do you see this done where people do include a pet in a will?
It's becoming more common. You find people who perhaps didn't have children where the pet is their child or pet. A lot of people have said that it's a member of their family.
Yeah.
So it's really important.
But like 5% of the time.
I would say at least 50% of the time that when you bring it up, they go,
Never thought
about it.
Now, pets, the life of a dog is maybe, 15 years. Could be 17, but it isn't 40. A lot of people write their wills long, long, long before they pass. And updating a will takes time, it takes money. How do you make that inclusion in a way that doesn't require that you go and update the will every 2 or 3
years? Yeah, so keeping a general clause to say, if there are pets at the time of my death, here's what should happen. So making it a more general statement so that they know what would happen. And maybe you might have different types of pets that would go to certain people. I have clients who have horses, very, very expensive pets. So who's going to take care of them?
And so when you say what would happen, what are some options? What could you put in there?
Options you can put in, you name a specific person. And I'm even seeing people leave a dollar amount to say, here's an X dollars to take care of my pet in the case of my death.
How does a trust work for a pet? And do you have to be a celebrity like Barbara Streisand to set that thing up? Like, it sounds quite complicated. She would do it because she's cloning her dogs anyway.
You hear that all the time. So you think if you're putting your pet in your will, you're usually this wealthy, famous person, maybe very eccentric, but it doesn't have to be the case. There are things such as a pet trust that you can set up a formal document that will say, in the case of my death, here's how the money would be managed and here's what it can be used for. You can make it very, very strict if you want. Generally, what we see in practice is not usually that case. It's usually around a lump sum of money to say this goes to this person for the benefit of looking after my pet.
And if a client said, I don't know, I don't have no idea what a framework would be on dollars, where would you start? Like, what is it, like 5 years of care for the pet? Or is it, how do you think about what's the right amount?
It almost is, it might sound a little silly, but it's almost taking what kind of pet it is. What is the lifestyle of the pet?
The pet has become accustomed to.
You know, what is the longevity of that pet? What health issues does that type of pet usually run into? Because you might want to think about medical care and veterinary costs, those types of things. So it's almost doing a reverse calculation on the pet's financial plan, if you will, to leave X dollars in the will for them.
I have a kid. We thought a lot about who the guardian would be. We made sure we talked to the guardian before we put them in the will. Does that thinking need to apply here?
It does, because you might perhaps think somebody wants a pet, but maybe they already have one. Maybe they develop an allergy. You might want to have an alternate, Or what if that person at the end of the day just isn't a fit and doesn't want the job to do it? So you want to have a backup plan just as you would with your children.
Now, we know the stats on Canadians having a will at all is brutally low. Somewhere around 50% don't have an up-to-date will, which makes me crazy and terrified.
Yeah.
But there are other parts of an estate plan that aren't just about the day you die. There's the power of attorney. There's the living will. How do we include the pet in those pre-documents or that pre-thinking?
That's a really important point, and I'm glad you brought that up. A lot of people forget about that. What if you fall ill? Who's going to take on that pet? How do they even know you have a pet?
Right.
So you might want to have this documented somewhere so that they know that you have a pet. Somebody's going to be responsible to step in case you become incapacitated for some sort of reason.
Is that called something, or is it just a separate document that's been notarized that says, here is the power of attorney for my pet?
You got it. And you can list it in your power of attorney to say, in the event that this happens, also note that I have a pet and here's who I've designated to help out with that task.
Are there any other, I don't know, myths or misconceptions about this area that you find clients, if they've given any thought to it, that they bring into it?
A lot of people haven't thought about it. So it's just taking the time when you talk about people not having a will. And I still run into that all the time. But a big part of my job now is to really have these conversations and to bring these things to the forefront. It's, you know, have you thought about your pet? And maybe you don't have a person you can name, but there are other options. You can name, a lot of humane societies have different options where you can sign agreements to say they will look to find the best home for your pet. Under what conditions you want to add into that agreement, a lot of them are doing that now.
In a case where a dog is considered a sentient being in the eyes of the law, does that mean I could leave my $10 million fortune to my dog? Is that possible?
Not quite yet. The law isn't there yet. You never know. It could change. But at this point, it is looked at in Quebec. They can set up a more formal trust with that type of terminology in it. However, what we're seeing is not going to that extreme
yet. It's about care for the dog
it really
during
is.
Its lifetime.
You got it.
Is it even possible to say I'm leaving my dog $10 million, or I need to leave Aunt Sandra $10 million and she's to
correct.
Take care of my
dog? It's leaving it to somebody, some person, somebody that's going to look after it with the understanding that they would use the funds for the benefit of your pet.
Fascinating stuff. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Amy Dietz-Grams with BMO Nesbitt Burns. We were talking about pets and estate plans. So much to learn on that front.